Please open your Bibles to the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 9. If you're using a Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 926. We'll be reading verses 5 through 10. We'll read the verses responsively. The 10th verse is the text verse for tonight's message. Once more, Hosea chapter 9, verses 5 through 10, page 926 in your Scofield Bible. Let us stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. What will ye do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them, the pleasant places for their silver. Nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. And let's pray. Thank you for tonight. Dear Lord, there's, of course, a need in every heart. We believe we need what you've prepared for us. We believe, of course, you use the man of God to convey that message that you want us to hear. It's pretty important. This, of course, is big league stuff. We pray that you'd help us to listen intentionally, help our hearts to be helped and changed. Strengthen us in thyself. May thy spirit, of course, meet with us. May we have thy power to listen and to discern. And our preacher, may he have thy power to preach. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Without your turning to it, I want to just read you a passage. It's my text tonight. I'm lifting a text out of its context. And the statement is very, very true, regardless of how it's what the context is. And their abominations were according as they loved. I want to speak tonight on that subject. Their abominations were according as they loved. That comes from the beautiful little book of Hosea. Our Heavenly Father, I want tonight to be a blessing. And I want to rightly divide this book. And I want the people of God to love you more. And I pray that the consequences of that love will be made very plain tonight in this hour. Amen. I'm going to use the mic here tonight. And just a little bit of review of the story. Often used, often told from behind this pulpit. It'll be used tonight briefly and just as an introduction to our message. The book of Hosea is about a man whose name was Hosea, who fell in love with a woman whose name was Gomer. He married that woman. They had a son whose name was Jezreel. They had a daughter whose name was Lo-Ruhamah. They had a son whose name was Lo-Ammi. These three children and their mother and father lived, I guess, a very normal kind of a life. Till one day their mother went into whoredoms, the Bible says. She became what we would call a prostitute. I think I can know what happened. I think that Hosea went to Gomer and pleaded with her to come back home to the family. But she had sold herself and sold her body for a paltry sum of money from the eyes and bodies of lustful men. I think I can see Jezreel, the oldest son, going and saying, "Mother, we need you at home. Come back to Daddy." But she refused to do so. She continued her pursuits into the selling of her body for money. I think I can picture Loruhamah, her daughter, coming and saying, "Mother, please come back to us." And then Loami, the second son, likewise. But their pleas were to no avail, as their mother Gomer went deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. Days became weeks, weeks became months, months became years, and years, no doubt, became decades. Hosea is an old man now. The children are all grown. Hosea's steps that once were brisk are now carefully taken. His shoulders that once were erect are now drooped. His brow that once was smooth is now furrowed, and his face is now wrinkled. His hands that once were held firm and sure are now palsied. He's an old man now. In his senior years, he goes down to the city square, if you please, where they auctioned off the slaves. And as people do sometimes, especially older people, they sit around the city square, the courthouse and so forth, and they play dominoes. They may just chat a while, play some checkers or something, but there he was, observing what was going on. This was the day when they were auctioning off some slaves. I can see one strong young man being auctioned off for a high price. I can see a strong, lovely young lady being auctioned off as a slave. When suddenly an older lady steps up, the auctioneer begins to ask for bids for the older lady. Not many bids of any consequence came for her because her days were few. Her years were not long on the earth. Her back was not strong. Her step was not sure. Her hands were not firm. She had lived her life. And as the old man Hosea looked up and saw the old lady coming out to the auction, he said to himself, "She looks familiar to me. I don't know a more beautiful story than this. I don't know a story that tells of the love of God quite like this one does." And Hosea looked up and said, "That's Gomer. That's the wife of my youth. That's Gomer." He made a bid for his slave wife. No longer do men want her. No longer is her body sold to passionate men. Because that's the way the devil is. The devil will use you for all he can get out of you and leave you without anything after a while. Advertisements are lies. The commercials are lies. The devil's a liar. Here's this old lady, like all old ladies are that live their lives in sin, like all old men are who live their lives in sin. Hosea continues to bid. Someone raises the bid, and he raises his bid, and someone raises, he raises the bid higher than that. Finally, the auctioneer says, "Sold," to the old man back in the back. Hosea walks up to this slave lady, who's bitter, no doubt. He says, "Gomer." She recognized the voice of her husband. He took her back home. And God uses the story of that man who purchased his own wife again, who lived a life of prostitution. God uses that story to tell us how much He loves us. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod, now I'm coming home. And tucked away in that little story of Hosea and Gomer is my text. Your abominations were courting as they loved. The one statement that I've used in this pulpit in the last 36 and a half years, more than any other statement, is God loves you. God loves you. If you listen to my tapes and counted all the statements that I've made, apart from put your pens and pencils down, would be God loves you. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels of rapture announce it, and shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. I have good news tonight. God loves you. I said, I have good news tonight. God loves you. Let me tell you of that love tonight. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me tell you of His love tonight. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me tell you His love tonight. 1 John 4:8, God is love. Let me tell you His love tonight. Romans 5, verse 5. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Let me tell you His love in Romans 8, 35. Who shall be able to separate us from the love of God? Let me tell you of His love in John 15, 10. Abide in His love. Or Zephaniah 3, 17. Rest in His love. Or Psalm 91, 14. He has set His love upon me. Boy, wallow around in that one for a while. 1 John 4, 19. He first loved us. Or 1 John 3, 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Or Solomon, Song of Solomon 2, 4. His banner over me was love. Or 2 Corinthians 5, 14. The love of God constraineth us. We sing, O love that will not let me go, I had my weary self or soul in thee. We sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We sing, the love of God, how great, how pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. We sing, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest. Jesus loves me. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. We sing, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, but love lifted me. We sing, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. We sing, love divine, all love excelling. I'm saying tonight, ladies and gentlemen, add up all the love that every husband has for a wife. Under that, add all the love that every wife has for a husband. Add under that all the love that a brother has for a sister. Add to that all the love that a sister has for a brother. Add to that all the love a mother has for a daughter. Add to that all the love a mother has for a son. Add to that all the love a father has for his son. Add to that all the love that a father has for his daughter. Add to that all the love a son has for his mother. Add to that all the love a son has for his father. Add to that all the love a daughter has for a mother. Add to that all the love that a daughter has for a father. Add to that all that a lover has for a lover. Add to that all the love that a friend has for a friend. And you have not come close to how much God loves you. He loves you tonight. He loves the lovely and the unlovely. He loves the loving and the unloving. He loves the lovable and the unlovable. Let me tell you something about this loving God. Let me tell you something about this loving God. His hatred equals His love. The strongest word for that hatred is abomination. Their abominations were according as they loved. I can tell you how much you love God. How much do you hate sin? I can tell you how much you love the home. How much do you hate queers getting married to each other? I can tell you how much you love the family. How much do you hate queers adopting children? I can tell you how much you love the family and love the home. How much do you hate murdering little babies, unborn babies? I'm trying to tell you that the same God who loves like nobody else loves, hates like nobody else hates. It says, their abominations were according as they loved. Let me tell you about this hate of God that is necessary for Him to love. He cannot love you unless He hates what hurts you. Let me tell you what our abomination. Deuteronomy 7:24 says, keeping the gold of the graven image is an abomination. God hates it. Deuteronomy 17:21 says, a sacrifice offered to God with a blemish is an abomination to God. Now hold it a minute. Hold it a minute. A lamb that was placed on the altar that had a broken leg was an abomination to God. An offering placed on the altar that had a scab was an abomination to God. An offering placed on the altar that had a running sore was an abomination to God. Ladies and gentlemen, John the Baptist stood on the banks of the Jordan and they said, oh, behold, the Lamb of God. Anybody that teaches that Jesus is not perfect, it's an abomination to God Almighty. Our sacrifice has no blemish.
Our sacrifice has no scab. Our sacrifice has no fault. Our sacrifice has no sin. Our sacrifice was virgin born. Our sacrifice lived above sin. Our sacrifice was without blemish. And God said, any offering that's offered to him that has a blemish is an abomination. God hates it.
Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 12, it says God hates fortune telling. It's an abomination to God. Deuteronomy 22 verse 5, it says it's an abomination to God when men wear things a woman's supposed to wear. It's an abomination to God when a man wears his hair long. It's an abomination to God when a man wears an earring. It's an abomination to God when a man wears a necklace. It's an abomination to God when a woman wears things that pertain to a man. It's an abomination to God when a woman wears pants. I said it's an abomination to God when a woman wears pants. Oh, you don't like that? Then I'll say it again. It's an abomination to God when a woman wears pants. It's an abomination to God. In Deuteronomy 23:18, when money is given to the church from a sinful gain. It was an abomination to God when Wake Forest University moved to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, to get the tobacco money from the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company. That was an abomination in the sight of God. Abomination in the sight of God, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 16, when unjust business deal is made. It's abomination in the sight of God. In Deuteronomy 27:15, idolatry is an abomination in the sight of God. Psalm 119:104, God said he hates every false way. That means God hates salvation by baptism. God hates trusting the Lord's Supper to save you. God hates confessing your sins to a priest or El Papa in a telephone booth. God hates you trusting your confirmation for heaven. God hates it when you trust your good works for heaven. God hates it when you trust the baptistry for heaven. God hates it when you trust anybody but his son and the gift that his son gave on Calvary. Oh, you say, God loves everybody. Yeah, but he hates everything that hurts everybody he loves. The hate of God, how great, how pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever. And as long as God's love endures, his hate endures. As long as God loves you, he hates the liquor that'll destroy you. As long as God loves you, he hates the tobacco that'll destroy you. As long as God loves you, he hates Hollywood that'll destroy you. As long as God loves your home, he hates the dirty soap operas that'll wreck your morals. As long as God loves your home, he hates the mixed women on the beaches of America. I'm trying to say, there can be no love of God without a hate for sin and wrong and evil that's as strong as God's love for his people. Well, you folks were looking forward to a sweet one a while ago, weren't you? What a revolt and development this has been to you pussyfooters. Proverbs 6:16 says, a proud look's an abomination to God. A lying tongue's an abomination to God. Hands that shed innocent blood are an abomination to God. Feet that run to mischief are an abomination to God. A false witness that speaketh lies is an abomination to God. He that soweth discord among the brethren is an abomination to God. Proverbs 8:7 says wickedness is an abomination to God. Proverbs 11:1 says a false balance is an abomination to God. Proverbs 11:30 says a froward heart is an abomination to God. Proverbs 12:22 says lying lips are an abomination to God. Proverbs 15:8 says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to God. Proverbs 15:9 says the way of the wicked is an abomination to God. In Proverbs 15:26 it says the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to God. In Proverbs 16:5 it says that the proud heart is an abomination to God. In Proverbs 17:15, it says, he that justifieth the wicked and condemneth the just is an abomination to God. In Proverbs 28:9, it says, the prayer of a person who turns away from the Bible is an abomination to God. The prayer of a person that has an NIV Bible is an abomination to God. The prayer of a person that reads out of a New King James Bible is an abomination to God. The prayer of a person that reads out of a New American Standard verse or the Old American Standard is an abomination to God Almighty. God cannot love you without hating what hurts you. And his hatred will equal his love. You and I are the same. The more we love, the more we hate. So who really loves? The liberal that never preaches against sin? No, he doesn't love.
Unless he hates sin, he can't love his people. I said your love and your hatred equal the equation. The more you love home and family, as I said a while ago, the more you'll hate murdering babies. The more you love home and family, the more you'll hate Hollywood. The more you love home and family, the more you'll hate the talk shows on the box. The more you love home and family, the more you'll hate the dirty soap operas. The more you love home and family, the more you'll hate the queers marrying each other and adopting babies. I can tell you how much you love flowers by how much you hate weeds. I can tell you how much you love health by how much you hate germs. I can tell you how much you love God by how much you hate profanity. I can tell you how much you love America by how much you hate the flag burning. And some little pipsqueak basketball player making about $2 or $3 million or $4 million a year who won't stand up and salute the flag that gave him the freedom to become a millionaire by bouncing a ball. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, nobody loves America who will not salute the flag, thank God for the flag, stand at attention during the national anthem. I'm saying you love America as much as you hate the things that would destroy America. Some of you folks came to pastor school. You're going home before tomorrow night, aren't you? I can tell you how much you love the Bible, but how much you hate the false Bibles. You can't love the pure words of God without hating the counterfeit words. You can't love the genuine without hating the substitutes. I can tell you how much you love souls, but how much you hate the false ways to heaven. How much do you hate somebody preaching salvations by works? How much do you hate somebody preaching you get baptized to get saved? How much do you hate somebody saying you take the sacraments to get saved? I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, there is no way you can love without a corresponding hate for the opposite of that love. And God so loved the world. You want to know how much God hates sin? You look at Calvary. And God's love shown on Calvary is, I mean, sin took his own son. I can tell you how much you love decency, but how much you hate the gentleman's club down here on the corner. That's not a gentleman down there. I can tell you how much you love church, but how much you hate false churches.
They say, we're all trying to go to the same place.
Shut up. I can tell you how much you love the blood of Jesus, but how much you hate the doctrine of John MacArthur. I can tell you how much you love the old-time religion, but how much you hate modernism and liberalism. I can tell you how much you love heaven, but how much you hate hell. I can tell you how much you hate you love the Lord's Supper, but how much you hate the sacraments. I can tell you how much you love your country, but how much you hate communism. I can tell you how much you love baptism, but how much you hate sprinkling. I can tell you how much you love the gospel, but how much you hate the false gospels. I can, the children don't say amen here, by the way, just the older people. I can tell you how much you love the truth, but how much you hate falsehood. I can tell you how much you love the worship of God, but how much you hate the worship of Satan. I can tell you how much you love the old-fashioned gospel song, but how much you hate rock music. I can tell you how much you love salvation by grace, but how much you hate salvation by works. I don't care if that salvation is preached in a Baptist church, Charismatic church, Catholic church, Methodist church. It doesn't matter. If you love the old gospel, the old plan of salvation, that gives salvation as a gift of God to all who by faith rely upon what Jesus did to save them, then you hate every other message that's preached that sends the souls of men to a burning hell. I can tell you how much you love Jesus, but how much you hate liberalism. You fellas, liberal preacher's walking down Sibley Street, and I happened to be out there, and he knew me. Sergeant recognized me. And he said, Reverend Hiles, that always bothers me. He said, why don't you come to the Ministerial Association? Cooperate with us. And I said, okay, I will, if you can qualify. I said, you breathe the virgin birth of Christ. He said, no, I don't. I said, do you believe the sinless life of Jesus? He said, no, I don't. I said, do you know why I don't come to the Ministerial Association? Because I might pop you right in the nose while we're having a meeting. You say, where is your love? I ask you, where is your love? Where is your love for Jesus Christ? Where is your love that doesn't make you burn on the inside when somebody said he was an illegitimate child of a whoremonger? Where is your love? Their abominations were according to their love. I can tell you how much you love cleanliness, but how much you hate filth. I can tell you how much you love modesty, but how much you hate immodesty. I can tell you how much you love good, but how much you hate bad. I can tell you how much you love the law, but how much you hate anarchy. I can tell you how much you love the English language, but how much you hate the prostitution of the English language on radio and television. I can tell how much you love Jesus, but how much you hate sin. I can tell you how much you love health, but how much you hate cigarettes. I can tell you how much you love morality, but how much you hate rock music. I can tell you how much you hate sanity, but how much you hate liquor and dope. Hosea, he loved that woman. He loved her enough to buy her back when she was had nothing left but a wrinkled face and a stooped figure and a few years left. He loved her so much, he hated the sin that had wrecked her life. He loved her so much, he hated the filth and the immorality that had stolen her virtue. And ladies and gentlemen, when America loved God, America hated sin. Their abominations were according to their love. And so are yours. Let me illustrate. I love you so much, I hate what liquor will do to you. I love you so much, I hate the devil that would destroy your life. I love you so much, I hate the rock music that will wreck your decency and your morals, young people. I love you so much, I hate Hollywood. All of its mess and cesspool. I hate it in the movie house. I hate it in the video stores. I hate it at Blockbuster. I hate it on your television set. I hate Hollywood. I don't care if it's Rock Hudson or Mickey Mouse. I hate Hollywood. I love you so much, I hate the immodest dress that will take away your decency and purity. I love you so much, I hate the dirty magazines that will destroy your mind because you're bound by lust. I hate what will destroy your health. I hate what will destroy your home. I hate what will destroy your marriage. I hate what will destroy your happiness. That's why I preach harder than ever. I'll be 70 years old in September. I've never preached so hard in my life. I used to preach one microphone sermons. Now I preach a lot of microphone sermons. I've never hated sin so much in my life. And our country's never needed a bunch of old-fashioned sin-hating, sin-fighting preachers like you need tonight. Somebody's going to call America back to righteousness. Somebody's got to call America back to holiness. Somebody's got to call America back to decency. Somebody's got to call America back to purity. Somebody's got to call America back to that book right there. Let me show you a hatred tonight. A nation that doesn't spank its children is full of hatred. Whom God loveth, he chasteneth. Let me show you hatred tonight. A school that refuses to fail any student. Or a school that refuses to cause a student to wear decent clothing to school. I tell my people sometimes, if you've been to the zoo and seen everything down there, go to a high school locally and watch them as they walk in. The more animals there with strange looks than you'll find at the zoo. And I'm trying to tell you, the moms and dads and school boards and officials this country that let our kids get by with everything under the sun, they don't love our kids because they don't love that which will destroy our kids. Let me tell you, show you hatred. A preacher doesn't preach on hell. A preacher doesn't preach against sin. A school that has no dress code. A church that has no standards. A college that lets its students go unharnessed. A government that allows baby killing. They say I'm a hater. They say that those of us, us fundamentalists, are haters. We hate because we love. And we hate as equal to our love.
their abominations were according to their love. I'm a hater because I love Jesus and have to hate everything that's against him. I'm a hater because I love my people and hate what will destroy them. I'm considered a hater because I love my country. Right across the street over here, a few long-haired hippies decided to burn a flag. I got a bunch of men together. We went over and captured the flag. I'm considered a hater because I love that which will, because I love the family and that which destroys it. Because I love chastity and decency and purity and that which hate that which causes it. I'm a hater because I love courtesy and hate discourtesy. Years ago, my father was an alcoholic. He'd come in on Saturday night, come in on what we used to call on the rim. He used to have inner tubes and tires back in those days. And my daddy drove an old beat-up car. I've seen my daddy go down to used car lot and buy a car for $10. They have a flat, didn't have a spare, and he was drunk. I've heard him, my sister heard him, time again. He'd come in late at night, drinking. You could hear him coming down the street on a rim. Tire torn to pieces, inner tube torn to pieces, and all you could hear was the rim scraping against the pavement. He'd come into the house, and you'd hear the crash of the car hitting a tree as he came in the house, drunk. He'd stagger up to the front door. My sweet, precious little mother would go to the door and say, "Come in, Athy." I've seen her put him to bed, put him to sleep. I've seen her said, "Son, you come with me." We'd go out in the front yard, and Mother would open the trunk of the car. She'd get the whiskey bottle that was making her husband a wreck. She'd get the whiskey bottle that was making her children hungry. She'd get the whiskey bottle that ruined her marriage and ruined her home and caused her son and daughter to live in poverty. And my mother would get that whiskey bottle, and she'd get a rock. And she'd say, "Son, watch what I do to it." And she'd say, "I hate liquor. I hate liquor. I hate liquor. I hate liquor. I..." And by the way, she's got more love than you gals that let your children sip on a beer or a martini, or you do it in front of them, or let them watch it on television. And my mother would say, "Son, you say it." 2 o'clock in the morning, out in front of the house in the driveway, behind an old car under the rim, my daddy sleeping off a drunk, my mother'd take that liquor bottle and she'd say, "Say it, son. I hate whiskey. I hate whiskey. I hate whiskey. I hate whiskey." And she'd get a fiendish look in her eye and she'd take that bottle and break it on that rock and smile and grin. And we'd stand out there and together say, "I hate whiskey. I hate whiskey. I hate whiskey." Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. America needs a revival of the love of God. But if she ever has revival, love of God, she'll hate everything more than she's ever hated in her life, the things that are contrary to the will and the purpose of God Almighty. Their abominations were according to their love. How's your love life? I can measure it. How's your hate life? I can measure your love tonight by how much you hate. Don't misunderstand me. We ought not to hate anybody. We ought not to hate anybody, but we ought to love people so much that we'll hate that which would destroy their lives and their homes. And brother, after preaching over 57,000 sermons, being a preacher over 50, a licensed preacher over 50 years, and pastoring over 48 years, when I go out off the scene, you're going to see me leaving sweaty. You're going to see me leaving with microphones all over the platform. And you're going to hear me crying, "I hate the devil. I hate every false way because I love God." He loves you tonight. He loves you. And his hatred for that which hurts you is equal to his love that he has for you. No other way to look at it. Their abominations were according to their love. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father, it's not easy to love, be considered a hate monger. I believe all the criticism I get, Father, I think the toughest I get is for people to say I don't have love. I doubt this preacher alive loves his people like I love these people out here in these pews. Oh, my God in heaven tonight, give us such a love for you, we'll hate every false way. Give us such a love for the family, we'll hate everything that would destroy it. Give us such a love for each other, we'll hate everything that would hurt. Give us such a love for our children that we'll hate the things that would destroy their lives and their futures. Please, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.